Kennedy, vote for Kennedy, and we'll come out on top.
How has the U.S. entertainment industry shaped how politicians are presented to American voters? How liberal is Hollywood in reality? And is Donald Trump the ultimate showbiz president? Those are just a few of the issues I discussed with historian Catherine Kramer Brownell, author of Showbiz Politics, Hollywood and American Political Life. The Purdue University academic was in Prague recently for a talk on just that subject at the city's branch of New York University.
In the early days of the Hollywood studios, was it the case that for the executives, many of whom were immigrants, Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe, that being connected to politicians gave them a kind of legitimacy or social acceptance?
Absolutely. And that was actually what drew Hollywood into politics from the beginning, because Hollywood, the studios in the 1920s and 1930s, they were run by Jewish immigrants who were very eager to gain acceptance into American life. This is at a time when anti-Semitism ran very high in American society, and so they were very eager to show that they had value and a contribution to American politics and culture. And so the early days of political mobilization is overwhelmingly defined by figures like Jack Warner and Louis B. Mayer, eager to cultivate those political relationships to assert their social legitimacy. And it helped their pocketbooks as well, because they were able then to negotiate favorable economic conditions as well.
I guess their backgrounds would have also been one reason they were so keen to support the war effort. After the war, was Hollywood more powerful than it had been previously?
Actually, before war broke out, it was very controversial, and studio executives were slow to support intervention because there is a pushback by many senators who fear that they were promoting a war fever with films like The Great Dictator, for example. But they felt that they needed to get involved, and especially once Pearl Harbor happened, the entire industry, regardless of whether they were conservative or New Dealers, they got on board. And they used motion pictures as what they called weapons of war, weapons to raise awareness about the importance of fighting and also to raise important money in terms of war bonds as well. And what happens during the war is that people, the broader public, and the American government recognized how powerful motion pictures could be in American political life.
Notoriously, in the 50s, many Hollywood writers and directors were blacklisted during the time of the House Un-American Activities Committee, headed by Senator Joseph McCarthy. Were there many communists in Hollywood?
There were communists in Hollywood, just like there were communists all across the country. But the reason they went after them is linked to what happened during World War II, that recognition by politicians that Hollywood is powerful. And there's a concern that if entertainment is deployed by the other side, then that's dangerous. And so you see a lot of Republicans and conservative Southern Democrats as well. They did not like the type of politics that was happening in Hollywood, which was overwhelmingly during the 40s. It was liberal, progressive, and of course you do have some communists in there as well. And so they were quick to attack entertainment for quote-unquote bedazzling audiences, and they thought that was very dangerous. But then they were also very quick to deploy the exact same strategies to advance their own agendas as well.
Today we're used to Hollywood stars endorsing politicians, speaking about politics. When did that begin?
Well, during the 1930s, you have some celebrities that would work on campaigns. But again, it was a little controversial for them to be involved in politics. It was something that they did very carefully in terms of promoting charity. In terms of promoting particular candidates, this does happen in the 40s and the 50s, but you really see it expand in the 1960s. In many ways, that's linked to changes in the studio system, where the studio system, when it broke down, its control over the public image of actors really started to dissipate. And so actors had more authority to negotiate their contracts and also negotiate what they wanted to do in the public sphere.
Were there many well-known celebrity endorsers? I know, for example, Sinatra had a song about Kennedy, right?
Yes. So Kennedy had many celebrities on his side, although Nixon did too in in the 1960 election. But Kennedy was more effective at deploying them to promote his own celebrity. And that's a distinctive difference that you see in the 1960 election. Someone like Sinatra added to the star power that Kennedy saw as central in terms of how he was going to gain political legitimacy. So his theme song extended and expanded the appeal of Kennedy. While with Richard Nixon, he also had people in his camp, very famously John Wayne, promoted Nixon's candidacy. But Nixon didn't put those celebrities at the center of his campaign. He saw that as perhaps something that could help him win in California, but not as a national strategy. Ultimately, that changes in 1968.
And why did it change in 68?
Well, it changes in 68 because Nixon looked back at why he lost in 1960, and he firmly believed that it was because Kennedy had this celebrity persona, and that he had the support of Hollywood, and most importantly, that he had turned himself into a celebrity to gain political power. There are many reasons outside of that Kennedy won the 1960 election. It was very close. But Nixon believed that this showbiz politics was why he won. And so he emulated Kennedy when he ran for the presidency in 1968.
And in what specific ways has Hollywood influenced the U.S. politics, especially the presentation of politicians?
So Hollywood has brought entertainment into the American public sphere and the American political sphere more generally. And it has made media mobilization center to gaining political power. Hollywood entertainers have taught politicians the tools of the trade, how to do that. But most importantly, it shifted the way people think about entertainment. And it's seen as a valuable addition to American politics, making emotion appealing to the hearts, not necessarily the minds of voters, as a central tactic of political communication. And this has shifted the power away from the party and urban machines that used to control messaging and strategies of communication to voters, to now where you have showmen and professional PR figures and entertainers, that they're the ones that are really controlling the message from candidates to the voters. And overwhelmingly, the shift away from the party to the media has also shifted the focus on to the personality of individual candidates who are running for office and not just the platform for the party.
There are a few conservative actors who really stand out, like John Wayne, mm-hmm. Charlton Heston, and of course Ronald Reagan. But actors are generally seen or often tend towards the liberal. Have they always been liberal, or when did the acting profession become essentially liberal?
Well, it's really interesting because that is the perception, that Hollywood is liberal. But there are many conservatives in Hollywood even today. And in fact, the Republican Party has been more successful at turning entertainers into candidates. This was a conscious strategy by Republicans in the 1960s to capitalize on the age of television and those figures who were well known to American television viewers, and they overwhelmingly were actors. And so they started to recruit actors to run for office themselves as the Republican Party is trying to rebrand and rebuild itself in the 1960s.
If we could speak about Trump, is he the ultimate showbiz president? Because he wasn't a politician before, he was known to most Americans, I guess, as a reality TV star.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Donald Trump builds on the changes in the party and the changes in American culture that would allow for someone to assert their credibility and their legitimacy based on their skills to entertain. And so he absolutely follows the trajectory that I chart out in my work. But he also changes it because he embodies a different type of celebrity. His celebrity is not artfully crafted and honed in a production studio. It doesn't rely on years of training in terms of studying how to be an actor, how to present a message. It relies on spontaneity and impulse and very much reality television. And the difference between a Hollywood production and reality television in many ways kind of shows a different approach to celebrity that's happened over the past 30 years with cable television and the internet that has democratized celebrity.
Looking to the future, what happens after Trump? Do you think it's possible there could be another showbiz personality like an Oprah or somebody like that who could, now that he's broken the mold, do something similar?
Well, I think about this moment as very much similar to the 1960s, when figures like George Murphy and Ronald Reagan did run successfully for office, and it forced both sides, both parties, to think about what now? We see that this works, but so how can we channel this media strategy to our advantage? And both sides are figuring out how to respond to new media and the opportunities that something like Twitter has to bypass the press and present candidates directly to American voters.
I saw a piece recently by you in which you suggested that even though Trump is the, in quotation marks, the ultimate showman, his stagecraft isn't actually that great.
Yes, and this is actually something that's very different about Trump, is that he has very much promoted himself, his brand, what he wants to do, and he has not actually deployed the production team that so many celebrity presidents in the past have done this. They've relied on the Office of Communications, on speechwriters, on press secretaries to coordinate the messaging, so it's packaged in a polished way. Trump is not polished, and he doesn't have that packaging team really working for him. This is something he tried to use to his advantage during the campaign against Hillary Clinton, who is very polished and very packaged. But it also infringes on his ability to actually govern or legislate, because there isn't a coherent message that he's putting forth.